You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church Hereford. If you would like to find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
Hello everyone. So good to be here once again. It's been a long time. As you can see, now I have a blonde son. Yes. Yeah. We are not dying his hair. I was blonde until I was 5 years old, but yeah, so he's becoming more British every day. Elena probably have told you, everyone she saw here today, that her teeth are getting wobbly. So our children are growing, which is good and scary at the same time. She's going to be 6 years old this year. That's my beautiful wife, Paula, if you have not met us. But it's really good to be here once again this morning. We were missing you big time. I think the person who misses you the most, of course we do, but I think is Elena. Elena, she had a process to go to Hereford. So she was really thrilled when we told her last week that we were coming to Ross today. And it's a privilege. Although we are in Hereford most of the time now, you are our family. And I hope that doesn't you feel that, because we never stop praying for you. We never stop praying for this place. We never stop praying for this town. And it's been extremely busy, extremely busy. I would suggest you not asking me to slow down, because there's time to invest and there's time to take the fruits of it. And we believe we are on a time of investments that we are making on people, on raising new leaders. But it's been incredible. And we've been finding the balance of spending time as a family, spending time of with the kids, with ourselves. But we understand that it's time to invest in the church. We love the church. The church, it is something that we love since we discovered ourselves as people. And I'm really thrilled to be talking about prayer today. So we are together with you going through the Lord's Prayer. And I'm really glad that the Lord's Prayer, it is in Matthew chapter 6. Because if it was on Matthew chapter 8, my children have eaten the paper. So... So I'm really glad it was 2 chapters earlier, because otherwise I would have a little bit of problem on my Bible to find the verses. But I want to pray first, so God can help us and enlighten us as well. Jesus Christ, thank you so much, because you are the one who called us for a life of prayer. You are the one who told us to never stop praying. And we want to understand more about that. Prayer is a principle. Prayer is something from the beginning. And we just want to grasp. Father, your son said before he left that he was going to leave over us the Holy Spirit that will teach us about everything. And Holy Spirit, we ask you now, as we read this together, as we talk together about prayer, may you, Holy Spirit, enlighten us. And bring us understanding of what prayer and what a life of prayer it is, Father. In your name, amen. Hallelujah. Before we read the Lord's Prayer, I want to read together with you Matthew chapter 6 on the Lord's Prayer. But we need to understand the context of it. It's impossible for us to grasp and to understand the Lord's Prayer if we don't understand first something that might be really unnecessarily to know, but unless we know that, we cannot understand the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is pretty much, it happens on chapter 6, of course, of Matthew, but it happens throughout a moment that starts on chapter 5 and it goes until the end of chapter 7. Which are the teaching that Jesus does at the Mount. of, how to say in English, the mount? The Sermon of the Mount, yes. So it starts on chapter 5. And Jesus goes throughout the entire chapter 5, 6, and 7, teaching the disciples and those who were around him. So it's impossible for us to understand the Lord's Prayer if you don't understand first why he went up to the mountain. If we don't understand that there's nothing in the Bible, not a single word, not a single comma, that is not over here in the Bible inspired by the Holy Spirit. So for us to understand chapter 6 and the Lord's Prayer, we need to understand first why Jesus went up to the mountain. Because unless we do that, because Jesus could have taught on the ground where they were. But no, it says over here that when Jesus, chapter 5, first verse, it says when Jesus saw the crowd, he went up to the mountain and he sat. And when he sat over there on the mountain, the disciples followed him where? Up to the mountain, and over there, up high, he started to teach them. And then he spends all the time on chapter 5, going through a lot of topics, chapter 6 and chapter 7 as well. But specific on the chapter 5, he starts saying a lot of things. You have heard this. You have heard this. But now I tell you this. You have heard about that. And now I tell you about that. You have heard about adultery. You have heard about murder. You have heard about those things. But now I am telling you this. So why on the beginning of chapter 5 that leads to the Lord's Prayer, Jesus goes up to the mountain? There is a sign over here for us that Jesus had the intention to change people's perspective. So unless we understand that what Jesus was doing was changing their perspective, we'll never understand the Lord's Prayer. So Jesus took them up to the high mountain, and he comes over here saying, now here that you are looking now from above down, I will be able to give you the right perspective over things. I need to give you, my disciples, a perspective of someone who looks from heaven down, and not someone who looks down up. I need to change your perspective on how you see the law. I need to change your perspective how you see fasting. I need to change your perspective on how you see prayer. Because it needs to be from a position of someone who is higher and sees from a higher place. And it changes the perspective now of someone who is not needing, but someone who is blessing. So Jesus comes, and the first thing he does is to change our perspective. And that's why he does that. He says that he doesn't come to deny anything that was said. He says about adultery, he says about murder, he says a lot about all the law, and he comes to talk about prayer. And he doesn't come to deny anything that was said. But now he says, now, you that were following only the law, I come now to tell you and to testify you about something that is deeper than what you have seen so far. And he comes to Matthew chapter 6. And chapter Matthew 6, he starts and he's talking a lot about helping the others. And in the middle of it, he talks about the Lord's Prayer. So the first thing for us to understand is Jesus was changing. When he was teaching about the prayer, he was not giving them a method. He was not giving them a prayer. He was not teaching them the prayer. But when he was teaching them to pray over here, Jesus was teaching them and was transforming their understanding of prayer. More than teaching them what to do, he was teaching them how to be moved on what they had to do. Because he has changed the way they were seeing things. And then he comes over here and he says, so when you pray, Matthew chapter 6 from verse 5. So when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. because they love to pray. But they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth. They have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees that what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, like those who are ignorant, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. They think they are going to be heard because of how many times they repeat the same thing. Do not be like them, because your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into the temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours, I don't like some verses when they take away the... For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Yes, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So Jesus comes over here and he starts teaching about prayer. And we need to understand, most of the time, we believe that every time we talk to God is prayer. But you know that it's not. When we see 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul establishes for us that there is different ways to talk to God. So he says that we should come to God with petitions, prayer, thanksgiving. So there are different ways to approach God and talk to God. So you can be doing petitions and to be talking to God. But God and Jesus over here is teaching us about prayer. And we need to grasp it and to understand more what this prayer, or this life of prayer means. And Jesus comes over here and he says, look, there is a difference of someone who is ignorant on their reason. They love to pray. They have a sort of motivation. Even those who do that for their own intention, even those who are doing that to fulfill something they need, it can be their hunger, it can be their proud, because they want to be seen. But those who are ignorant, somehow, they have some sort of prayer. And he was talking to the Jews. They were not needed to be taught about prayer. They had a life of prayer. Praying was something important for the Jews. They were proud of their life of prayer, because there was something that they would do, and they would do so happily about it, because they would believe that by hearing and by repeating, they would be heard by God. The law of Moses and all the prophets, they were extremely diligent. You have this word, right? Yeah. On how to pray. And prayer, because prayer was something extremely important. But Jesus comes now over here, and he starts, and before he says about the Lord's Prayer, he starts saying something really important. Do not be motivated by what you need, and neither expecting to receive something back. And Jesus, once again, he was trying to change the people's perspective on prayer. And we're going to see how. So he comes and he says, do not be motivated, because those who are ignorant, those who are hypocrites, those who are doing by their own motivation, they are doing this by their instinct. I don't need to teach my children to have their instinct out. My parents-in-law were here, and Elena came to talk to us. She said, Dad, you know what I found out? I said, yes, what it is? The best person to take to a toy store is my grandfather. I said, why is that? Because if I ask you, you don't give me all the presents I want. But if I ask my grandfather, grandfather, can I have that toy? He always says yes. So that is a natural instinct of a person who needs Jesus, who is asking, looking for the benefit of herself. She's not doing this because she's a bad person. Although our nature and my children's nature, I love them, but they need Jesus. And I'm not naive to to believe the opposite. They need Jesus, and I'm doing all the effort for them to have a closer walk with Jesus Christ. But even those who are motivated by the wrong perspective of life, they will search for some sort of relationship with this God. They will try to talk to this God. And Jesus is saying over here, even those who are not led by the right perspective, they will try to find out a way to talk to God, even if motivated by the wrong meanings. But you, when you pray, and Jesus starts to enlighten their mind right now. Because he first thinks, he says, and once again, why does Jesus place us always in the right place when he's teaching us? And he says over here, when you pray, he went down up to teach. And now teaching, he's saying, when you pray, you go public and you go inside your room. And again, there's a meaning. Because he says, when you go inside your room, when you go deeper, when you go alone, when you are over there in the deepest of your moment by yourself, you will find someone. Who will you find when you go deeper on this? It's over here written. There's a figure that you find when you take yourself and you're placed in the most deep of your loneliness, but you go deep. In this place, you find the Father. This is a place when we go into the deepest of our emotions, of our soul, when we go to this moment where it is between God and myself, when I go to my deepest, the deepest of my emotions, my soul, and everything else. When I go to my room, I close the door and I pray to, and I pray. I meet a person over here. I meet my Father. I don't meet a God. I don't meet a powerful God, which were the people that people in the past and the Jews, they would relate. They would pray, and they would pray searching for the God Almighty. But Jesus comes and says, I'm teaching you. You have heard this, that you pray and you find the Father, find God. But I'm telling you now, when you pray, now, from now on, you're going to meet and you're going to find a Father. And the Father is the one who is unseen, but the Father who sees everything, he will hear what you're saying. So he establishes something extremely important to us in this place, the beginning of it. It's a place. The pagans, they repeat because they believe still that there is something left for them to accomplish. They still pray as someone who are here. But Jesus is saying, when you pray, move from where you are. Take this position. Because on this position, it's deeper. Although it's higher, it's deeper. Because on this position, you have established a connection with the family of God. With the Father. It's the Father who hears you. And the Father who replies you. They believe by repeating, they're going to convince the God Almighty to hear them. But you, because you have met the Father, you understand that the Father knows before you even ask what you need. So he comes over here and he establishes something new again. Stop praying as someone who needs. And it's beautiful to think that, because Jesus, it is establishing. First, he stays over there. He establishes, you are praying to our Father. Look how beautiful it is. I want to go back to this again. When I say stop praying, we most of the time, our life of prayer, because it is happening over here, we keep praying as something is missing. And it's interesting because over here he says, give us today our daily bread. And we can read that believing that he is asking for a bread that doesn't have, that is missing. That is the understanding of someone who prays over here. without the perspective that Jesus was trying to give. But let me tell you something. Jesus says that we have been blessed with all the blessings that we needed. There's nothing else to be received. So someone who comes and say, give us the daily bread. Let me give you the right perspective over that. I had breakfast this morning with my children. We were at the table, and there was bread on the table. And my daughter, she asked me, Father, can you pass me please the bread? So she, because she understands that she is a child, she didn't do anything to deserve the bread. She didn't do anything to earn that bread. But because she believes and she knows that she is on a relationship with her father, she doesn't feel guilty. And she doesn't pray. She doesn't ask for something that she doesn't have. She's pretty much asking, please, can you pass me the bread? Because I understand that you already gave me. Not because I need it. Not because I deserved. But because I understand I have it. And it's beautiful because he's not even asking for myself. He says, give us the daily bread. When we change the perspective on prayer, it places us to understand that we are responsible to manage the problem of the bread. We are responsible. I don't have any problem to ask my father for the bread because I understand that the bread is not for me. I've been to places in Africa, my friend. I'm going to tell you something. Our church works in Mozambique, in Brazil. And I have seen. The Bible says that I never saw anyone just to be in need of bread. There's a Bible verse that's something similar to that in Portuguese. So I'm translating literally. You might know this Bible verse. How does it say it in English? It's something like that, right? I never seen a just person to vindicate bread or something like that. Yes. So you're getting, right? But I've been in places in Africa where I saw people who are believers and they didn't have the bread to eat. But I'm going to tell you something I've never seen. Any believer lacking bread to share. I have seen people who died because they didn't have bread to eat. But I never saw someone who didn't have bread to share. Because that is what Jesus Christ is talking about. My level of maturity on understanding the Lord's Prayer makes me responsible for the family. I need to stop praying according to my own needs because my Father already knows what I need. But when I pray, I'm motivated by the Father that I've met and my understanding that I'm a child of God. And by that I am part of a family. Because the Lord's Prayer pretty much solves problems. The Lord's Prayer starts saying, Our Father. I don't have a father. We have a father. It starts establishing this. If my father is not your father, I don't have a father. And that is interesting because there was already the beginning of everything difficult on this. He started saying, our. And our God, no, our Father. Our Jehovah, no, our Father. Father is also all those things because he's God, he's one. But the identity that he's establishing over here is our Father, who is in heaven. And he's teaching from a high place. And he has placed all the disciples in this high place to teach them that you are here with me. You are not in the position of someone who is missing out there. I have brought you the position where you pray where I have placed you. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is here in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Not that we lack of it, but because we understand that he already gave us. So Please, Father, can I have the bread? Of course. Because he already gave. He already blessed. And this understanding that I'm praying according to a child of God, see how much it keeps going on. Forgive our debts. In the same way that we are also forgiving my brothers and sisters. It's impossible. And lead us not into temptation. But even in those things that we don't have control, even in those things that the enemy try to attack us, protect us. And it's beautiful because then he keeps praying and after and all this story. And he keeps saying that if you don't forgive your brother's sins, without forgiveness, my friend, everything over here is rubbish. Is that what he's saying? If you keep going on, he just says that pay attention how serious the lack of understanding of identity that I pray I have the identity of a child of God. Jesus is saying over here, because if you don't understand this identity, this perspective when you pray, if you don't understand that you're a child of God praying, he says over here, if you do not forgive men's their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So why are you going to spend time praying? If the lack of understanding of the relationship that Jesus has established with us and the Father. I need to be this person who understands the heart of prayer. He keeps going and he finishes. It's beautiful because he finishes chapter 7 with the story of the man who built a house in a rock. And he finishes the Sermon of the Mountain. He's saying, guys, whatever, I'm teaching you so many things. But at the end of the story, if you don't put into practice, it's all a waste of time. Let me tell you something. Life of prayer is what we were called to live. And so many times, we are so exhausted because we've been praying. We have 24 hours of prayer coming soon. And I'm hoping for a time where we are praying in a deeper level this time. Because we need to be praying as those who doesn't lack anything. We need to be praying as for those who says, Father, can we have the bread, please? Because it's already ours. Father, can you forgive my sins? Because I am forgiving my brother's sins as well. When we go for praying over Ross, when we do prayer walks in Ross, are we trying to convince God to give something to Ross that he didn't give already? Or are we saying, God, give us here in Ross our daily bread. Can you pass, please, the bread over here in Ross? Because it's already ours. Because you already gave us. Not because we needed, not because we were motivated, not because we earned, not because we desire, not because we were worthy of it. But because you made us a family. I want to pray for us this morning to finish, because Jesus came to teach a revelation of prayer. We are lacking so much. I pray for my children every day. And so many times I'm lacking. I see myself lacking of revelation on my prayers. So many times, my friend, on my despair, when next year, Elena, she starts learning about genders in school. She's only year one. it's a loft. It is something difficult for me to cope. I get so worried about those things. Who is feeding her? And I come to pray for my daughter. And most of the time I see myself praying as someone trying to convince God to give her something that he didn't give already. I'm always trying to... It's so common. I'm always praying. My grandmother, she is in hospital right now. She had a surgery. She had a broken hip. She's 86 years old. 50% of chance of not surviving for the next 2 years. And she has dementia. And she remembered me this week. And I cried my eyes out. And I was praying for her. And all the time when I come back to my... I don't want to lose the perspective of prayer. For me to finish, I want to give you a testimony of something that happened in Africa one day when I was there in Mozambique. I'm sorry if I passed the time, but it's been too long since I was here. But I'm finishing with this testimony. When we got in Mozambique, our church, we run a few schools over there. Mozambique used to be the third poorest country on earth, according to the UN. Nowadays, it's still on the top 10. Big challenge where we work there. When we got there, there was this huge smell of something raw, something really disgusting. We could not find where this smell was coming from. We started to, so we called the doctors. We always take doctors and dentists with on the team. And we started to look for where the smell was coming from, And we saw this girl on her, around her 6 years old, and her name is Elena. And we found out that the smell was coming from her. And we thought, first of all, there was just lack of shower or something like that. And we took her to be seen by the doctors. And the doctors find out that her gums, yeah, she was being eaten alive. There was worms walking on her gums, and she was literally being eaten alive. We don't know pretty much what happened. So we said we need to intervene on the situation. She had to take antibiotics for 7 days to be ready to go for the dentist. And when the dentist, a friend of mine, did all the procedure, he called me and said, JP, we had to remove 90% of her tooth, because they were all destroyed. They were all, but we have a problem. So what it is? So we moving around. I didn't see any signs that she has new tooth to come. So she is 6 years old, and probably she will be forever toothless. And I don't know what to do. I need to do a better check. And we don't have x-ray over here. We need to find out a doctor, GP, dentist around for us to do the checks the properly. So we found out a doctor, a dentist, and I called him. And then I went. And then I remember when I went, we were in an emergency. So there was this car. So there was the driver, the mom, and Elena. And I needed to go, but there was no space for me. And I said, no, don't worry, I'm going to jump in. It's those cars that you have like a space, like in the farm, that you have like a space in the back for a lot of things. When I jumped, I didn't see that it was full of rubbish for the entire 30 people. And it was disgusting. But I didn't have time to do anything else. So I remember I spent 30 minutes holding myself. And I was like, I can't believe I'm on this. I can't believe I'm going to this situation. And it was terrible to get there. When we got there, I explained the situation to the doctor, to the dentist, and he said, "Look, JP, we're gonna do a scan, an X-ray." And he started taking the X-ray of this part first, and he started to show me. Said, so JP, because of lack of proper feeding, so many reasons why. So, and this can be quite common. She didn't have. The tooth didn't form properly. You can have problems on the bones. You can have problems of, and this girl, she had problems on the formation of her new tooth coming. So she started showing me, and there was like a lot of sort of gaps on the on X-ray. And he was going to do the part on the top. When a client came and said, JP, it's important client. I cannot make her wait because I'm doing this for free for you guys. But she's an important one. Do you mind if I just do a cleaning? It will be quickly. And then I went to a waiting room with Elena, with her her mom. And I sat there and I said, God, I don't know what to pray. I have no idea what to ask you. But I need to pray with the perspective that I learned in Jesus Christ. She is my sister. I don't know what to ask you for her. But I know you love her. So my only prayer is that the love that I've met in you, you share with her. The bread that I have this bread. So my only prayer is that I know that you love Elena. So my prayer is that she can find out. I didn't know what to ask. I only knew the motivation of prayer. And I prayed for her this. Didn't ask anything. We came back to the room and said, JP, I'm going to do again a few more just to save on the low part. And then I'm going to take the photos of the top part of the mouth. And I started taking the photos in silence. And for 2 minutes, it was completely silence. And he said to me, JP, I don't know what happened with my machine. My machine, I think, is broken. I'm going to have to take it for... Because, as you can see, all her teeth are here. And the next ones will start coming up maybe a month or 2 months ahead or something like that. All her teeth was there. I said to him, you don't need to take your machine to be seen. It's just because... Elena's father was showing her how much he loves her. You, my friend, when you pray, stop praying as someone who is over here. You don't lack anything. You are here. You are someone who has everything. You are someone who solves problems. You are someone who forgive. You are someone who has an understanding that you are part of a family. And even in those things that you need, because you need, your father already knows that you need. And even if you don't ask it, he will give you. Because I don't feed my family because they are asking. A baby never asks for food. And still our moms go over there and feeds. So your father is inviting you to pray. According to someone who understands that you are surrounded by the... And that's to finish. That's why we can pray non-stop. Because we don't need to save 1 hour every day to pray. Because prayer is not that. Prayer is this understanding that I am always surrounded by the presence of a constant and loving Father speaking to me. Let's pray. Because maybe you're feeling tired this morning because you're still praying with the right motivation but with the wrong perspective as someone who it feels that you are convincing God to look after your children and to look after yourself and to look after your father knows what you need before you say it. Our Father. You are replacing us. As this church goes through the Lord's Prayer together for still weeks ahead, you are placing this church with the right perspective of prayer. We don't lack anything. We are the one mature enough to pray and say the problem is ours. The hunger, we solve it. the mistakes, we forgive. Because you lead us. Because we have met a Father. Our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. May your kingdom come. May your kingdom come. May we take your kingdom. May the kingdom come through us as well, the same way that Jesus took the kingdom. Give us the bread so we can solve the problem of hunger. And forgive us. Forgive us the same way that my brothers and sisters will never find any accusation on my lips over their life. Teach me to come to this place. Deliver us from evil. Protect us from the evil one. Because yours is the glory forever, the kingdom forever, the power forever. Thank you for changing the way we see things. In your name, amen. We love you.